tinnitus.
Oh, yeah.
I have a creepy crawly in my ear that lives there, and it's not a spider, according to my GP. Emily has also pulsatile tinnitus.
Yeah. I have normal tinnitus and pulsatile tinnitus on top, which is a real joy.
Yeah. And it seems to be quite a feature for people with long COVID.
Yeah.
A lot of people seem to have it as part of their symptom group.
Well, so when I was in the NHS, I ran a joint dizzy clinic. It was me and an ENT surgeon. And you could only get in if you'd been referred by another consultant. And in amongst the group of people that we saw were people with tinnitus. Obviously, if you have unilateral new onset tinnitus, it could be the marker that something has happened in the ear or in the nerves. But that's quite uncommon and rare. The truth is, if you put all of us into a silent room, we all have tinnitus. But because the tinnitus on the whole is consistent, the brain learns to realize it's not offering any novel or interesting information. So it just blanks out. Emily.
So it literally disregards it. It's able to override the fact that it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
So what you're saying is it's the change in tinnitus that makes us aware of it. Because I had this thing, when people say that tinnitus doesn't actually exist, it's only in your head, I can actually feel the pitch of my tinnitus changing, or it's like I feel a pressure change in my ears and I can feel these differences in the tinnitus. It just gets louder sometimes. So for me, the suggestion that it's actually the change that makes it prominent, that makes you aware of it, that resonates.
It goes back to kind of really understanding how the brain works, doesn't it? So
is that something you can explain to us in a nutshell?
A couple of minutes. It's the same thing. So it's like, so when I'm answering a question, so I'm having to think about what you asked me, how to present it, and all of my explicit cognitive capacity is focused at that point. At that point, I don't see anything in my peripheral vision. I don't hear anything because all of my cognitive attention is consumed by this task. But when you talk, then I can relax a little bit. So I become more aware of stuff in the background. So that's me functioning normally. If I've had a brain injury, as I try and do exactly the same as I did before the brain injury, firstly, I can't keep my attention for as long because my brain gets tired because it's having to use so much more energy because the connections it's using are slightly abnormal. And as my attention starts to drop down, so background stimuli, which I would normally just screen out, start to creep in. All that's happened is my brain's ability to do what it could do automatically has been affected by the fact I've had the brain injury. So with you guys, all of us have got tinnitus, but for most of us, our brains most of the time just screen it out. But for you, because now you've got long COVID, your brain's ability to screen it out has dropped down. So you get it much more. Obviously, as you get it much more, you do have that, you know, this is where you start to, people say, you're starting to get maladaptive beliefs now, Emily and Noreen. You're starting to catastrophize in your mind. And of course, it's like you're thinking, sod off. But actually, when you think about it, when you are distracted, when your mind is consumed in listening to my wisdom, your tinnitus, it'll drop away.
That is true.
Yeah.
I still have the creepy crawly in my ear.
Yeah, no, it can become so intrusive that it's there virtually all the time. And then the question is can you train the brain out of it? Or is there a persistent problem with that pathway that means the brain never gets enough stability to kind of push it into the background? And in order to answer that, you need to be able to understand the auditory nerve and exactly how it's functioning section by section. There you go. That's a potted explanation of tinnitus.
That is fantastic.